assessing avalanche danger after snowfall in Haines. And legislators consider what to do about derelict boats. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories are up next. Haines is a popular spot for backcountry snow sports, but this winter has been a tough one for downhill skiing, snowboarding, and snow machining. Much of the season has seen limited snow accumulation, making access difficult. And now that the good powder has arrived, so have increased safety concerns. I caught up with Haines Avalanche Center forecaster and instructor Jeff Moskowitz to talk about current avalanche conditions and staying safe in the mountains.
There's been some pretty well-defined bouts of cold and dryness, and then also short periods of precipitation, snowfall, or rain. What's happening in the snowpack is each of those weather events are creating different layers, and so we're getting kind of different density snows on top of other density snows. So what we need for an avalanche is a stronger layer over a weaker layer. And these long periods of cold, dry, clear weather are promoting weak layers called facets, which form at the top of the snowpack, that then when we get a storm that moves in and drops snowfall, sets up that strong over weak.
So sort of exactly what happened here in February.
Yep, it's been a good example of instability in the snowpack.
So one of the things that you guys do at the Haines Avalanche Information Center is post observations from around Haines, and you have people post things as well, sort of crowdsourcing. And a couple things stood out to me about some recent observations. Your colleague posted sketchy weekend about this past weekend up in the Lutac zone over here near town. And then you in the same zone described freaky slab and some whoomps.
Yes.
And that is the sound of
That weak layer failing under the weight of that stronger layer that's sitting on top of it.
So it sort of be signaled danger.
Yep. There's three major red flags when it comes to avalanches. So natural avalanches, you're actually seeing them come down while you're out, or shooting cracks. There's actually the slab is cracking. You know, it can happen under your feet or kind of in a little bit steeper terrain. Or a woomph, which is basically a settlement of the snowpack. And typically we hear them where it's the terrain is flat. So if it was steeper, we'd actually potentially could get that slab sliding down the mountain. But instead, it's kind of like a flat land avalanche. And it sounds like woomph. You don't just hear it, you feel it. It'll rattle you to your core. So that's a pretty good sign that there's a instability out there in the mountains, and it might not be the time to be getting into any steeper or kind of exposed terrain.
So that's one zone that you forecast in, and it sounds like, from those observations, fairly unstable right now?
I would say so. I was out yesterday, and we had settlements pretty much throughout the whole tour at about 2,500 feet over on Rapinski. I would be kind of curious for other observations. I did read a few from White Pass, and I believe one at the Chilkat Pass that were talking about the same kind of phenomena, and typically with a shallower snowpack, which we also have had this year, it's easier to affect layers further down in the snowpack. We're used to having a bit more snow around here, which in the higher elevations might be true, but definitely where us recreationalists are getting to, this is a more unstable time.
It sounds like the kind of time where it would be important to sort of know your skills in the backcountry if you're going to venture out there and know those signs and know what to watch for. And you recently brought an opportunity to learn more about that to Haines.
Yeah, so we held our the Alaska Avalanche Information Center, our statewide organization we work through. We are an ARI provider, which ARI stands for the American Institute of Avalanche Research and Education. It's a standard here in the States. We brought this program and instructors here to towns throughout Alaska. We had an instructor, Sarah Carter from Valdez. She came down, but we had some perfect conditions and being able to show an avalanche class some instabilities in the snowpack helps to solidify a lot of the learning that goes in around it. So it's easier to kind of demonstrate. And with these touchier conditions, it's kind of a good learning opportunity. Good to use small slopes like test slopes with no, you know, consequence to you or anyone else to actually, you know, poke your head in the snowpack and feel these layers and feel that strong over week and maybe perform some stability tests just to see what unstable snow looks like.
So looking ahead at the forecast for the next week or so, it looks like we're due for some more precipitation and a little bit of a warm up. Do you have any thoughts on what the snowpack may do?
Yeah, this is kind of the event that we need to take out a lot of the instabilities. So typically during and right after storms is when there's a lot of avalanche activity in the mountains. But if we get, you know, some actual snowfall or heavier precipitation and or winds, we can actually get these natural avalanches to occur and a lot of these kind of lurking instabilities to go away. And sometimes we'll call that a reset. So as long as there's enough to kind of put it over the edge, yeah, hopefully we'll see pretty large avalanche cycle and then kind of start the next round, the next week of seeing what the weather holds.
That was avalanche forecaster Jeff Moskowitz. You can link to the Haines Avalanche Center's website to see recent observations and forecasts with this report at khns.org. State lawmakers are considering a bill aimed at tackling abandoned boats that litter Alaska's waterways. KTOO's Jacob Resnick reports.
Juneau Harbormaster Dave Borg says the problem is statewide.
Abandoned derelict vessels is a huge issue.
Currently, federally documented vessels of at least 5 tons aren't required to be registered with the state. Senate Bill 92 would change that. Smaller vessels would be required to have a title issued by the DMV that's kept in the state's database. The bill's sponsor is Senator Peter Michicki, a Soldotna Republican.
The intent of this bill is that you understand the ownership of the vessel and you can start dealing with it years before what we've been doing now, so long before it ends up on the bottom.
Because right now, tracking ownership isn't easy. Current law only requires a bill of sale, even one written on a cocktail napkin. Juneau Port Director Carl Yucatel told the Senate Finance Committee that on Thursday.
As you can imagine, people pass down hand-me-downs and vessels are traded in bars or for a buck, and it kind of ends up that people with the least resources have to have the biggest bill to pay at the end of the useful life of these vessels.
An earlier vision of SB 92 would have required vessels longer than 30 feet to carry insurance for the cost of cleanup and recovery, but that was quietly removed last month by the Senate Resources Committee. SB 92 would streamline impound procedures. Current law is complex and makes a distinction between abandoned and derelict vessels. That would change. It also adds civil penalties that supporters say would be easier to enforce than criminal charges in current law. Senator Gary Stevens, a Kodiak Republican, said he recognized that requiring titles for boats will help the state at least track vessel ownership to determine liability.
This is a step. It's not the answer. We need to find a way to help folks who own these older vessels before they become a more serious problem than they are right now.
In Juneau, more than 30 vessels in poor condition have been impounded and ordered destroyed by harbor officials since 2014. That figure doesn't include those seized, salvaged, and auctioned. Juno Harbormaster Dave Borg said the status quo isn't working and wrecks keep piling up.
We've got to get rid of these things. They can't just continue to litter our waterways and beaches and everything else. So this will help to address that.
Lawmakers haven't heard any formal opposition so far. A companion bill in the House introduced by Representative Paul Seaton, a Homer Republican, is awaiting hearings in his chamber's Finance and Fisheries Committees. In Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight.